Hello, this is Dahlia Masaci. I am a writer, editor, and trainer here in the Bay Area, and I'm interviewing the two co-directors of the Bay Area Conscious Capitalism chapter. They are Margaret Ryan and Anna McGrath. Would you like to say hello, Margaret and Anna?
I would. This is Margaret. Hello, hello. Yeah, really appreciate you taking the time, and I look forward to having this conversation today.
Great. Thank you. Let's just start out with, what does conscious capitalism mean to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So what it means to me personally is really running organizations in a way that you are bringing awareness and a deep commitment to the purpose of the organization. And so it's not just about making money. It's really based upon being able to take the organization in a direction that you want to positively impact the entire planet, the community, whoever your stakeholders are. And then more specifically, if we're looking at what does conscious capitalism really say are the four tenets of conscious capitalism, one of those is purpose, meaning a purpose-driven organization. One is stakeholder integration, meaning we're not just looking after the shareholder. We're looking after employees, shareholders, vendors, the community at large, the planet, all kind of the supply chain as well. The third one is conscious leadership. And the fourth one, I would say, is conscious culture and management. So they're the four different tenets that are focused on within conscious capitalism.
Okay, let's just go through those four just very briefly to kind of flesh them out. What do you mean by purpose-driven organization?
Yeah, it's a great question. For me, is each organization is somebody comes together and they have a great idea. And in the old model, the stakeholder model, that idea was solely driven, or so people would lead you to believe, was solely driven by the goal of making a profit. And truly, that's why entrepreneurs start companies. Normally, they're really passionate about something, whether it's about technology, whether it's about healthcare, whether it's about food. You know, people come together to create an organization because they are driven to see something happen in the world, and that there is a larger purpose that is much more heart and spirit-centered. Like, if it is about organic food, they want to revolutionize the food industry to go ahead and ensure that people can get healthy organic food. Whether it's, say, for us about organization, I want people to love going to work, love contributing their unique talents, and actually build phenomenal lives for themselves. So purpose to me is much more heart-centered about what is the positive impact you want to see in the world as it relates to this organization coming together?
Okay. Great. So it's not departing from making a profit, but in addition to making a profit.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Okay. You're right there, because capitalism is in itself not unhealthy if it is about purpose-driven. Every organization must be sustainable, and by definition, there must be money, that is an energy source, that needs to come into the company. So it is not putting profit and throwing that away and saying that's not a priority. It's just making it not the only priority. It's one of many, but you don't come together as an organization to purely make profit. Even, you know, maybe Enron did. There were certain people within Enron that had that thought pattern. But not everyone in the company came together just for a pure profit. So it is looking, what is the purpose of this entity, of this organization?
Okay. And what about the triple bottom line? How does that fit in, the triple bottom line being people, profit, and planet?
Yeah, to me that's another way of saying conscious capitalism, because you are looking at all three of these areas. From the point of view of conscious capitalism, they are looking at the four tenets, and so it's looking in a very holistic way. But when you say people, profit, and planet, people talks about conscious leadership, people talks about a conscious culture. You know, planet is obviously much more about the stakeholders, all the stakeholders, and profit obviously is profit. So I think that for many terms over the last 50, 100 years, there's many different terms that people have used about conscious capitalism. And sometimes it was just, let's start a great company that does good. You know, it's that simple. What I love about the actual term conscious capitalism is there seems to be such a polarity in the title. We're bringing deep consciousness together with a deep commitment to sustainability and capitalism, meaning the profit. And so often, even just by sheer mentioning the name of the association, you can get some people that have got a lot of baggage, shall I say, attached to the word capitalism, and others baggage attached to the word consciousness. So what I love about it is it really shakes people up, and that often gets them intrigued to say, let me hear more, because how do these two things truly coexist?
And this is Margaret. I would like to add in a piece there. It's interesting how many people have said to me, Margaret, I've been doing this thing for years, and I didn't know what term to put it under. And it feels as if it gives them a placeholder by being able to say conscious capitalism. And I think I like that, because to me I can see it even in their body how rooted they are in wanting to make sense of it and be part of a community that wants to jive literally around what they're doing and what someone else is doing, but having some sort of camaraderie and alignment with what they're doing.
Yeah, and as you say that, because when there are tough decisions that need to be made, and it's about the courage to be a conscious capitalist and being able to hold all of the different stakeholders, all of the different factors, and then go forward and have the courage and be brave enough to say, and these are my decisions, and this is how I truly believe this reflects my values, it reflects the values of the organization. I think it's fun to have explorers and collaborators who are on that same journey, because there are no simple answers and there are certainly no right answers. It's just purely an experiment as we move forward to make better and better decisions.
Okay. Great. All right, so let's move on to stakeholder integration. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so I know we touched upon that a little bit. You're looking at the community would be one stakeholder. The employees would be a stakeholder. The vendors who supply you with what you need within your organization, that would be another stakeholder. Obviously, the shareholders, the investors, they're another stakeholder. And so you can look at it, the community could be local, it could be the entire planet. You know, because if you're a company that has some kind of toxic output, you're really looking at how do I offset those toxic impacts to ensure that I'm not negatively impacting the planet. And up until recent history, all of those what are called externalities, i.e. the toxicity that's going into the water or the air, companies haven't been held accountable to really take care of those. And now I think there's this inner want to take care of it from the company's point of view, and also there's outer regulation to support that as well.
Okay. All right, so we've got community, which can be defined in lots of different ways, employees, vendors, shareholders, anyone else?
It really is as diverse as you can think, because if you think of
complete chain, really,
the entire supply chain. It could be community, could be your local school that you're supporting, It could be your local city. You know, you might be city initiatives. But it's really who are the people that touch your organization? Obviously, your customers, your guests, your members, depending on what type of business you are, they're obviously very critical stakeholder. And it's really saying, rather than putting one above another, how do you holistically look at your stakeholders and make decisions that make sense for all?
Yeah, I'm thinking of, you know, years ago in organizations, you would see the infamous pyramid. You know, who was on the pyramid? Was it employees first or customers first? Or you remember all those things? And I think what I really have this sense of is that when you really own that everybody is a stakeholder, that you start looking at your business in such a different light. It gets you so much more into a bigger picture about, I think personally, this is how organizations really drive their bottom line, is because they are now looking at all the hands that touch their product, rather than just think very small. I remember being in a meeting, it was on a panel discussion years ago, and there's a local company, I won't mention the name, and they really have a pretty good reputation. And they spoke so highly about their product and about their employees, and they were really positive. And then there was a Q&A section, and someone actually asked a question about basically a stakeholder, a consultant, and who was coming into their business and how they were then utilizing them. This individual spoke so poorly about the consultants that they were bringing into their organization. And it absolutely, just to my core, went, hold on a minute, that's not congruent. How can you be so happy about what you're doing with your employees and not about another person working, coming into your organization? So I think it is really important, this piece around stakeholders, about how people treat each other, not just a commodity, but actually what is it we all bring to actually send that product finally into the hands of a customer.
And I think that really speaks to how do we partner, how do we create great partnerships, long-term partnerships that are truly win-win-win-win.
I like that.
Okay, I think that's clear. All right, so now we move on to the third tenet, which is conscious leadership.
Yeah, conscious leadership. We launched, back in 2003, we launched WonderWork, and the process at that stage was looking at how do we create conscious companies. And one factor is looking at truly deepening the consciousness of the leadership. And when I think about conscious leader, I don't think just purely about the leadership team. It's really about creating consciousness with every leader, meaning every employee, because every employee is leading their role. So for me, conscious leadership is what are the behaviors that we engage in every day? How do we interact with each other? How do we walk the talk? Are we fully authentic? Is there a situation where we are either withholding or avoiding something that really needs to be dealt with and faced within the organization? So to me, that bringing consciousness to leadership is really critical.
You're talking about leadership kind of internally within the organization.
Most definitely. Yeah, I think that looking at from if we are running a conscious organization, it is that leadership internally in the organization. It's looking at, am I individually conscious and am I acting as a way that we are conscious together? It's the I and the we. It's not just one or the other. Really bringing consciousness to both individual and collaborative interactions within the organization.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. Okay. Great. And what about conscious culture? My guess is that it's related to leadership.
Most definitely. And with the final category of conscious culture and management, it really brings in some of the structures and systems as well. Often people have got outdated, meaning industrial age, structures and systems, like they're very strictly hierarchical. Leadership is centralized. And so with culture, there are obviously the factors of values. Do you have clear values? But also, have you distributed leadership? Or do you have a management structure that is so tight and controlling? So one of the things that we personally do in WonderWorks is we actually implement holacracy, which is a distributed leadership model, to truly get every single employee to be engaged in the decision-making within that organization, decision-making that's relevant to their function area, to their roles, their responsibilities. And so there's a place of not only is it about behavior work, i.e. conscious leadership, it's also about structure and operating systems.
Okay, I understand. Okay, great. So that the conscious culture and management is also an internal kind of thing.
Yeah, very much. And however, I would say conscious management is definitely on an internal basis, but also the conscious culture is, are we aligning? You know, there's the values internal. Are we aligning with values of our stakeholders? And so I think that culture, because it is so critical internally, but it is something that all of the stakeholders will be participating in and experiencing as well. So I think there is very much an internal external with that.
Great. How did the Bay Area chapter of Conscious Capitalism come to be, and when did that happen?
We actually had our first event April 4th. That was the night before the Conscious Capitalism conference. It was in San Francisco. And so we had a fantastic evening the night before. In fact, the topic was around dialogue with conscious women in conscious capitalism. So really hearing that feminine voice and how truly women are kind of tuned in and are really aligned to think as a conscious capitalist. And so we had some really, really fun research come through from Mills College, and it was a really good event. And so we had a good audience. It was very global because a lot of people were in for the conference. So that's when we launched the chapter. Anna and I both have you know, history, experience, a long time in actually really embodied and walking the talk around conscious capitalism from a corporate mindset and an embodied personal being. And so I think it was just absolutely, again, what Anna had just said around alignment, that we would choose to really jump in and create a chapter in this Bay Area that reflected so many of the wonderful people that we have in the Bay Area that truly have also been really on their own journey and bringing incredible material and expertise to corporations around the globe, actually, from the Bay Area. So I think for us, what was really cool was how do we create a chapter that's based around the community that brings all these phenomenal people together so they have a community of like-minded people with an extreme diverse group of mindsets and products and their own journeys, and have somewhere for them to come together and really, you know, just rock, just absolutely rock on all levels, and create a movement that inspires more and more people to jump on board and have a lot of fun doing it.
So how is that grown? Have you been able to bring other people into the movement with you?
Well, we've been very fortunate because Jeff Klein is local, and Jeff is the executive director, I believe, or business director from Conscious Capitalism. And so we've had a heck of a lot of support from Conscious Capitalism in launching a chapter, and there were a number of chapters already in existence. There's a chapter over in Australia that's really strong. I mean, they're a phenomenal chapter. Chicago, Florida, there's now one in Arizona. There's a number of chapters that are popping up all over the country. So we definitely had a lot of support both locally because, A, the conference was here. A lot of people here, again, as I say, are actually very tuned in to conscious capitalism, and so it was, I would say, it was very simple for us to get some really fun and good people on the board with us, and we're still obviously in the process of building that, but we have an opportunity to be able to offer the Bay Area the finest services, and we can do that because we've got some really good people together who are really looking to bring this movement to life.
And from day one, you know, when we were putting on the initial event back in April, we did have other board members immediately. So we were working together. I think we had about five people at that time, including the two of us. And now we're growing from that to get an even more vibrant board so that we can have more educational opportunities and services to the community.
So at this point, how many people would you say are involved in the Bay Area chapter?
There's a lot of people volunteering, and it's increasing every day. So I would say right now we have about 14 people, roughly, you know, with lots of different people being volunteers, around 14 plus people, and that's growing fast. We're going to have a very vibrant stream of people on committees. We're also, actively looking for people who want to get involved, who want to be part of the advisory board, people who want to be on the committee, people who would love to host events, and people who want to speak at them. So we are really doing a grassroots initiative of bringing people forward who actually want to be involved and participate.
In addition to the fact that people have been doing work in this conscious capitalism sense for a while, whether or not they've been using the term, what else do you think is attracting them to become part of the chapter?
I would say that most people realize to make large positive impacts, both locally and globally, that it is about coming together in community. So there's many reasons, obviously, people come together in community. It can be social, it can be wanting like-minded people, it can be to learn and grow their own skill sets. But I think that this group of people are extremely purpose-driven, and they've got really clear visions for what they want to create in the world. And therefore, it is about coming together to create the tipping point in all of these different industries. And when you are in a kind of more pioneering mode, you require that support system. And so I think that again and again, that what I hear is that people are walking into these meetings. Some people have got a lot of experience with this kind of movement, and others, it's day one. They might not have thought about conscious capitalism. They might not have thought about purpose-driven businesses. It might have been a hope in the back of their minds. But I think that, so it doesn't matter if it's day one for someone, the level of inspiration, the level of excitement, the level of kind of being able to regenerate their individual and collective energy so that they can truly create the results they want to see in the world. So there's many different reasons why they come together, but ultimately people want to see a change within their lifetime. And so to make that happen, it is about coming together as a group.
Now, could you tell me a little bit more about what this chapter is planning? I know the board is forming, as you've said, and what are some of the plans for the year to come?
Yeah, we have a very exciting schedule, actually. As Anna had mentioned, really moving from concept to launching the how-to program. 2014 is going to have a host of events that will be rolled out to folks who are really interested in this movement, because there's three parts. One is creating a very social event where like-minded people really love to meet up and want to experience the Bay Area and all it offers. With folks they would really love to play with and have fun with. So that's one group of events. And that could be from hiking to meeting up in restaurants, et cetera, or going to the opera. The second piece is having, and we've done this to date, we've had some exceptional speakers at our events, and we've had some really, you know, our last event in San Francisco was sold out, that we will actually have a phenomenal speaker series that will allow people to come to our events and be part of the speaking event rather than just listen to someone speak. We'll have events, we'll have fireside chats, but we'll also break into groups and allow the, you know, really get the conversation moving, and we're very, very keen to do that. That's been extremely well received, and we want to continue that dialogue where everyone has a voice. And then the last piece, which I'm very excited about, is this, again, from concept to the how-to program, and that's going to be a monthly series of bringing together the four quadrants that Anna spoke about at the beginning of the interview, to actually take people from the concept of conscious capitalism to actually, how do I do that? How do I embody that from myself and into my organization? And I think it's so important that we do get out of concept and get into how-to. And we, again, I will say and repeat myself, we have a phenomenal ability in the Bay Area, because we have so many folks who are so excellent. I mean, they're surpassing that. They're genius at what they do. And I want to bring them together in a way that allows anyone and everyone to really tap into this resource. And if you want to jump into all the programs, you can. If you want to just jump into one of them, that's up to you too. But you will basically have access to the best of the best in the Bay Area. And really, you know, truly, by the end of that time, turn around and have a measurable difference of what conscious capitalism feels like, acts like, and gives you the results of.
So, and you're talking about starting in fall of 2013 or next in 2014?
Well, we've actually been running there's been events since April. So all of these events have really have focused on having phenomenal speakers, panels and group breakout sessions. So they've been really popular, and some social events. So I'll say they'll continue. We'll roll the educational series, the how-to series, will roll out in January. And the other piece I wanted to mention, if I may, next year, something I is dear to my heart is to really recognize and acknowledge and appreciate all the wonderful organizations that are in existence in the Bay Area that truly are doing a fantastic job, where we're all talking about consciousness or mindfulness, and they have lots of different aspects of this subject covered. What I would like to do, and I've already started the process of reaching out to a number of these organizations and saying, wouldn't it be spectacular for us all to come together, to actually walk the talk and say, you know, under one umbrella, we have the opportunity to invite people to come in and experience all of us as one. And I've had some really positive feedback so far, and I think it would be just a phenomenal one-day event where someone could walk in and literally experience the talent of all of these different resources that we have. There's no reason for someone in this area to say they choose not to know what's going on. I mean, we really can. We have the opportunity to bring that to people, and my intention is to do that with the help and the grace of everyone getting involved.
So are you talking about like a big fair or a conference or exhibition hall, that kind of thing?
I think that's a great question. It's so early. I'm really open to all the above, but I think it's to give all of us a discussion around that and what we feel eventually will be the best way to bring forth all of these talents and resources. So I can't answer that yet, because truly I haven't spoken to enough of the people who would be involved and allow them to have their voice and listen to what they think would be best.
I just wondered, when you have the word Bay Area, Bay Area Conscious Capitalism Chapter, how far does the Bay Area extend? Or what is your vision for that?
Yeah, I think right now it extends as far as the map can be. But I think, who knows long term whether there'll be additional chapters popping up. I like to think that in time there will be, because the more of us there are, the more the movement can go. You know, I think the night with us establishing ourselves, we can then support the next person in the area and so forth. So we have each other to, again, as a resource.
And so we are planning events in other locations, whether that be Silicon Valley, the East Bay,
North Bay.
Yeah, it's really kind of encompassing the whole area until there's enough momentum to actually create separate chapters when needed.
Okay, I see. What is your vision for the online presence of the Bay Area chapter?
Yeah, I appreciate that. We actually do have a board member who is taking care of all the communications. So, again, it's a young chapter. We've really kind of raced off and built the community up in person. It's certainly on our agenda to have a really strong presence from a social perspective. You're part of that. Actually, you're helping us do that by doing this right now. And so, yes, is it our intention to get that El Pronto, our presence up and running? It absolutely is.
And so that would be a separate website. We're discussing URLs, et cetera. So that's in the discussions and in the works and is a vital next extension from our in-person presence.
So if anyone is reading or listening to this interview, if you'd like to volunteer, we'd be lovely. We'd be really happy to have you come join us.
Excellent. Okay. So the separate website will include a blog, obviously, and probably an events calendar. Any other special things that you have in mind?
Not right now, but I would say also we have set up a LinkedIn group, the Bay Area Conscious Capitalism Chapter LinkedIn group, and that's very vibrant. We've got people on there posting information, stories, articles, etc., and I would really love people to get very active on that because it's an existing group that we've launched, so let's build that up. Would be lovely.
And the other thing is, one of the belief systems that we have is that we really believe in distributing leadership. And so whoever's going to be in charge of the website will be in charge of the website. And they will, obviously, they'll, you know, solicit thoughts, but they'll decide what goes on there, what happens. And we do that with each of our roles on the board. And, you know, as we grow and get, you know, we get more and more people participating, we will be creating a holocratic board so that people can truly own their areas, bring their genius skills, and not be micromanaged.
Okay, great. Well, is there anything else that you think is important for us to mention or address?
Well, the only thing I'd like to finish off, firstly, I'd like to appreciate you for your time and talents today in allowing us to get our voice out to folks who really are interested in conscious capitalism in the Bay Area, and they'd like to, this is at least gives them a chance to hear us and hopefully fill the impetus to come and join us. And at the same time, really having the pleasure of getting to know so many people in the area since, you know, stepping into this role, because I think it is really rewarding to actually speak to people who are committed and are purpose-driven to make a difference in their daily work as well as their own personal life. So for me personally, I've had a lot of fun in the time I've done this, and I'm really looking forward to creating a really good chapter that's strong in roots and lasts for a long time.
It lasts as long as it's needed, meaning that eventually every organization and every leader is a conscious capitalist, and so the term becomes, a given.
Excellent. Well, I think that's a good note to end on.